We're thankful for your presence with us at the Gospel Service tonight. We welcome you in our Saviour's lovely name. 265 is our opening hymn tonight. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. 265, please, and we'll stand as we sing. Lift our hearts to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for the throne of grace. We're glad of the privilege, the opportunity to be able to approach that throne. We ask, Father, that you'll give us help as we seek thee. We want to pray now that the Spirit of God will descend upon our lives and upon this meeting. We acknowledge freely, Father, we're not sufficient for these things of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, and we ask, Father, come and aid us tonight. Come and help us. We pray that we'll know the power of God resting upon this meeting. We want to pray that we'll be conscious that the Spirit of God is here, that the Spirit of God is at work. Lord, we want to ask, put your hand upon our lives. We pray that we'll not be a hindrance to the work of God, the work of thy Spirit, that we'll not live, Father, in such a way that we'll grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God. Our desire is that he will come upon our lives in service. Our desire, Father, is that we would have Holy Ghost meetings every time that we gather. Give us Holy Ghost prayer meetings. Give us, Father, the preaching of the gospel in the power of thy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Ghost will descend again upon this land. We remember the day of Pentecost, how the Spirit fell upon them. And Lord, we cry tonight, we plead with thee that you'll do the same again in this land of ours. Thank you for the great theme of which you have been singing. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. We pray, Father, even as the words of the hymn writer describe, that we'll ever be amazed at that great theme of that great truth. We pray that we'll never lose the wonder of all that you have done and the greatness of your love towards us. We pray, Father, that even in the service tonight, that you'll come and touch our hearts. May we know the touch of God upon this meeting tonight. But we want to pray, Father, especially, come and touch our cold and hardened hearts with that great truth of the love of Christ for sinners such as we. Want to pray, Father, for all in the gathering. Thank you for each one that is present in the service this evening. Thank you for enabling us to be here. We praise thee for the gospel service, the doors of thy house that are opened on the Sabbath evening. And Lord, we want to pray that there will be many that will come through the doors of this church that are anxious about their soul, desirous to hear the word of God. We pray there will be many drawn in by your Spirit. We pray that we'll see the Spirit at work, Father, in bringing the lost into thy house to hear words whereby they might be saved, the words of eternal life. Lord, bless our service tonight. We plead, we're conscious, Father, that every time we come to your house, every time we come to a meeting such as this, to open up the Word of God, we need to know and experience your blessing again and afresh resting upon us. So we plead, Father, on the evening of your day, bless our hearts and souls. We thank you for how you blessed the meeting this morning. We thank you for the blessing of your word to our hearts. We praise thee for the encouragement of that psalm that is old and yet ever new. We praise thee, Father, for its freshness to our hearts, even this very day. We thank you, Father, for the great assurance of your provision for us. And Lord, we think of the times in which we live and so much fear for the future, so much fear for the winter time, the way ahead, and been able to pay the bills, been able to provide for the home and family. And Lord, we thank you that we can stand today and every day that we live upon the promise of your word. Lord, come and write that word with freshness even upon our hearts this very evening. Thank you for providing for us during the past week. Thank you, Father, for providing for us again this day. And Lord, we want to praise thee as we think of the gospel service tonight for providing for our souls. We rejoice in all that you've done for our souls. And Lord, we think of lost souls in our families. lost souls in our community, our friends that are still out of Christ. We ask thee to give us a new vision. Lord, touch our hearts tonight. Take away the indifference. We ask that we will be troubled and concerned as we think of those that are not right with God, those that have no hope for eternity. Our prayer, Father, is use us as winners of souls. We pray that that will be true, even of this church in the weeks that lie ahead. We want to pray for the new season, Father. We commit it to thee. Every department, as it will begin again, all the activities recommence. O God, give to us a renewed vision and zeal and desire to serve the Lord. We pray, Father, that we'll serve the Lord with gladness. Save us from indifference. Save us, Father, from dragging our feet. I would not with swift-winged zeal on the world's errands go and then labour up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. The word of God tells us of our Saviour that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Lord, we pray that we too will be consumed with the zeal for the house of God and for the service of Christ, and especially the winning of the lost. We pray, Father, that the months of this winter time will be fruitful months. We pray that there'll be months of God's power. We pray, Father, that you'll lead us into days of great blessing. Even, Father, may it please thee to lead us into days of refreshing in the work of God, when this work will be advanced. Lord, we pray that as a congregation that you will use us to move this city and to move this community for God. Take our eyes, Father, from the circumstances that prevail, that are around us, and we pray that you'll enable us to lift our eyes even heavenward. Remember, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And Lord, it is for such a view, such a vision of our God in his exalted place, his exalted throne. Lord, give us that sight, we ask, even in this meeting, and give it to us, Father, day by day. Hear our prayers. We ask thee now to linger with us, and we plead just that we will know the guidance of God, the power of God, and the fullness of your blessing upon the meeting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing William Gadsby's great hymn, Immortal Honours Rest on Jesus' Head, My God, My Portion, and My Living Bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. So the hymn number 70, and we'll stand to sing all of the verses, please.
Yeah.
Turning in the scriptures tonight to John chapter 3, third chapter of John's Gospel. Beginning to read at the first verse, we pray the Lord will bless to all our hearts the reading of this precious and familiar portion. The third chapter of John, the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We'll just close there this evening, the end of that 17th verse. And we pray the Lord's blessing to be upon this, the public reading of his word. We thank you all for your presence, your faithfulness in coming to the evening gospel service. Our prayer is the Lord will bless you in the meeting, encourage your heart. We pray that you'll know the Lord's presence. We pray the Lord will draw near, minister to us from his word this evening. We welcome those that are listening on the live stream. We're glad if that means of reaching others from the congregation here, and we pray that it might be the means of bringing others to the Saviour as well. Remember the meetings, please, subject to the will of God for the incoming week. At 7:30 on Tuesday evening is the meeting of the church committee downstairs in the church hall. Wednesday night at 8:00, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We emphasise to you the importance of the prayer meeting. We encourage you to come. Perhaps it has been some time since last you were with us at the midweek service. Be assured we would be encouraged by your presence with us on Wednesday night. Come, and especially as we think of the new season, the winter's work, the departments of the work opening up again, the need to lay them out before the Lord and seek his blessings. Remember the prayer meeting, please, downstairs on Wednesday evening. Next Sabbath day, the 4th of September, 11:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening, the services, the prayer time before the evening meeting at 6 o'clock, and I'll be the speaker at both of those meetings in the will of God. Remember, the Sunday School and Bible classes begin this day 2 weeks. That's the Lord's Day, the 11th of September. And that Sunday morning at our morning service will also be the Sunday School prize giving. We'll have the children take part, and we'll bring a children's address to all that are assembled. Remember, there's a little note, an email that was sent through from our sister who just returned in recent weeks to the mission field. It's an expression of thanks for the support of the congregation, and an expression of thanks for the sending forth service. We thank all that came along that night too, and all that helped in the provision of the refreshments that were provided. It was a very good meeting, and the Lord's presence was known and felt in it. So take the time to read that note. We did read it in the midweek service Wednesday night past. If you weren't able to be present, we have posted it there just to give you an opportunity to see what our sister had to say to us. Remember, the presbytery will be here, God willing, this coming Friday evening. The annual general meeting is generally held at the September presbytery. The September presbytery is normally the annual general meeting of the presbytery, so that will be here Friday evening. We value your prayers and the preparations that will be made for that meeting, and for the Lord's guidance and blessing to be upon it. Remember, the Bethany Church are having their first youth rally of the new season next Sunday evening. That's at 8:45. Mr. Chris Killen is testifying. Miss Trinity McConnell is the soloist. And they're going to serve some hot food, and there'll be a time of fellowship for everyone afterwards. So just to make the young people aware of that. And we want to sympathise as a congregation again this evening with Brian and Sandra Nugent and the family. On the death of Brian's mother, Myrtle. Myrtle passed away in the early hours of Monday morning past. The funeral took place on Wednesday afternoon in the Killalea Parish Church. Mrs. Nugent would have been 89 today. We want to assure Brian and the whole family circle just of our deepest sympathy. We pray that they'll know much of the Lord's presence and much of his comfort just at this very sad time of loss for them. We're going to sing another hymn together, please. 199, God Loved the World of Sinners Lost, Ruined by the Fall. Salvation full, at highest cost, he offers free to all. So 199. We'll leave out the middle verse. We'll sing 1 and 2, 4 and 5, omitting the third verse, and we'll stand again to sing, please.
Salvation full and highest cost, he offers.
Let's just bow together before the Lord. We value and appreciate your prayers too. We encourage you to lift your heart to the Lord, cry to him for his blessing. Pray the Lord will bless you, bless the remainder of the meeting, especially the going forth of the gospel message. Father, we thank you for thy salvation. We're glad we're able to say in the meeting tonight, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Father, for all in the gathering that know Christ. That would be our desire and our prayer for each one. Lord, we pray there will be none leave the service tonight. We pray that there will be none that hear this meeting that will perish in a lost eternity. We want to pray that each will be saved. We want to pray, Father, that you'll give us power now to preach your word. Grant us a real sense of the Lord amongst us. We pray that you'll come and speak thyself. We're asking, Father, in this meeting that the voice of God will be heard amongst us. And we're pleading, Father, unitedly and earnestly, that you'll come and speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Come, Father, and call tonight sinners to thyself in salvation. Answer these our cries, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, the words of the 16th verse, our text this evening. Just as we come to the reading of it, let me remind you in the context of the chapter that it was Nicodemus, the Pharisee, that first heard these words, that had the first privilege, the man that was blessed of God to first hear these words and heard them from the lips of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a little children's chorus, well-known chorus, and it contains the words, you can't get to heaven without salvation. Many in the meeting tonight know that chorus, perhaps all. Even the older members of the congregation can remember back to your younger days when you sang those words yourself as a child. And I want you to consider that a short little statement tonight. Consider those words. That's the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel we want to emphasize in this service this evening. Whenever a person dies, when they come to the end of their life, you can't get to heaven. You can't get into heaven without God's salvation. Here in John 3 verse 16, we have one of the greatest, one of the clearest statements of salvation that is to be found anywhere in all the Word of God. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, called this verse the gospel in miniature, the gospel in summary. This one verse is a complete summary of the whole gospel, and it's a summary of the whole message of the Bible. And I want us to consider tonight, men and women, this text, and especially I want us to think of something of what it says, something of what it teaches on the greatest subject that is known to man, the subject of God's salvation. You'll notice, first of all, we learn something about the sacrifice for salvation. Think of the words of the text. For God so loved the world that he gave. Think of what God gave. He gave his only begotten Son. I want you to take a moment just to ponder, just to consider what God gave. Think of the price that he paid for our salvation. The price that he paid to save your soul from a lost eternity. He gave his only begotten Son. There's a very famous American lawyer the 19th century, Samuel Untermeyer. His wife had gone on a tour of Europe. She came on one of the great Gobelin tapestries. She wanted to buy it and bring it home. The price tag at that time was $25,000. She sent him a cable or a telegram asking his advice or his permission to buy the tapestry and to return from Europe with it. He replied with the words, with just a simple little statement, "No price too high." He was trying to tell her not to buy it, but because of the way he punctuated it and the way the message came to Mrs. Untermeyer, she thought he was saying, "No price too high to pay for such a work of art as that." So she bought it and brought it home with her. He was amazed when he saw that she had bought the tapestry and asked why he had gone against what he had said. And she showed him the telegraph, "No price too high." And men and women, that is the very heart of the gospel tonight. There was no price too high. No price that God was not willing to pay for our salvation. He gave his only begotten Son. You think of those in this land of ours, some who are relatives and friends of yours that made the supreme sacrifice, laid down their lives for their friends, as the scriptures describe, laid down their lives in defense of this province of ours. Yesterday, the 43rd anniversary of the massacre, the bombing, down at Narrow Water, when we were at Mrs. Nugent's funeral on Wednesday afternoon, standing in the Killaloe graveyard, I looked around at some of the headstones. There's a man, Davison, been a member of the RUC, was killed on the Chinook helicopter that was bombed. That you remember what happened? It bombed and crashed onto the Mull of Kintyre. Near to that grave, there was another headstone with the name of Fluke, a young lad of 29, back in 1921 at the time of partition, that was killed in an ambush up at Cross MacLean. Reminders of those that have paid the supreme sacrifice in defense of this province of ours. And we want that sacrifice never to be forgotten. And as you think of their sacrifice for us, for this land, I urge you in the meeting tonight to lift your thoughts and your minds higher. Lift your thoughts and your minds to Calvary and consider the sacrifice of God's dear Son on the cross. And as you do, men and women, remember, understand tonight, there was no price too high for God to pay for our salvation. His sacrifice was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. It was the supremest. We talk about those that made the supreme sacrifice. Well, his was the supremest sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all. Sometimes when we make a statement, we can be prone a little to exaggeration. Well, in saying that the sacrifice of Christ was the greatest, that is no exaggeration, men and women. You being no doubt tonight that God could not have given any more than what he gave that day at Calvary. You think there are things that God cannot do. And one of them is he cannot give any more than what he gave when he gave his Son to be our Savior. Remember the words of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, to Abraham? God will provide himself a lamb. That's a very interesting statement. It's not saying merely that God himself would provide the sacrifice. That statement is saying that God himself would be the sacrifice in the person of his dear Son. No price too high. It is sometimes said by the ungodly, those who are unbelieving, if God is a God of love, that people like to question the love of God for mankind. Well, men and women, don't be mistaken tonight. He is a God of love. God is love. Look at the cross. And at the cross, you see the greatest demonstration of love that this world of ours has ever known. And in this gospel service, I want to point you away from the church with all its rites and its rituals and ceremonies. I want to point you away from yourself with all your works and all your own efforts. And I want to point you to Christ. And I want to point you to his death. Because it is in that death alone, in the merits and in the value of his death, that you can have a salvation. Very interesting. The middle word in John 3:16 is the word son. Many of you know that other little chorus, 25 words in John 3:16. No greater verse has ever been seen. 12 about God and 12 about me. And son in the center, verse 16, John 3. And that's teaching us, men and women, that at the very center, at the very heart of God's plan of salvation, at the very center and heart of the gospel is the Son, the Lord Jesus. Apart from Christ, there is no gospel. And apart from Christ, there is no salvation. I want to say to you this evening, as John the Baptist did those many years ago, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You need tonight to look to Christ. Look to Christ by faith. And look to Christ by faith alone. When we taught the little Sunday school class in Burryport in Wales, teaching the children this verse, one of the little lads one day spoke about God's only forgotten Son. He misquoted the verse. But yet, men and women, how true that is. God is forgotten. Christ is forgotten in this land of ours. His word is forgotten. His day is forgotten. The commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. How many this day have forgotten? You think of on holidays, harvest time, isn't it sad? We see so many farmers, an increasing number of farmers bringing in the harvest on the Sabbath day. It's a reminder to us. He's God's only forgotten Son. And perhaps he's forgotten in your life too. I want to emphasize, men and women, no time, no thought for the Son of God. Is that true of you this evening? He's God's only forgotten Son, as far as you have been concerned, maybe for quite some time. Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Remember what was said whenever Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, the time of the birth of Christ, there was no room. No room in the inn. And maybe there's no room in your heart, no room in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to plead with you this evening, men and women, to let him in. Open your heart's door. Let him in tonight to be your Savior. The sacrifice of God's salvation. Think as well of the scope of God's salvation. It says that whosoever believeth in him. Here's the scope. Here's the extent of God's salvation. If we were to ask who can have it, who is it for? The answer is it's for the whosoever. In the Old Testament tabernacle, the gate, the outer gate, when you come in from the wilderness into the court of the tabernacle, that gate was 30 feet wide. That's just a little over 9 meters wide. And one of the messages there is it's wide enough. It's wide enough to let everyone in. And men and women, the gospel invitation is the same. It's wide. It's wide enough to let you in this evening. It matters not what your background is. It matters not what your nationality, what your religion, what your ethnic origin may be, or what religion you might practice. God's salvation can take you in. It's for the whosoever. The only person who is excluded is the person who excludes themselves, because God includes you in the invitation. Remember, it was wide enough to take in Nicodemus, the man that the Lord Jesus was speaking to. Nicodemus was religious, moral, self-righteous. A self-righteous Pharisee, leader in religion, was wide enough to take him in. Think of John chapter 4, the next chapter in the book. Think of the woman of Samaria. She was the complete contrast. She was sinful, an adulteress. several times over, a notorious sinner. So there's the two extremes, the moral and the immoral. And the invitation of Christ, the invitation of the gospel, is wide enough to embrace them both, and everyone else in between as well. And it will take you in tonight also, men and women, if you'll turn from your sins and come to Christ for salvation. So the salvation of Christ is for the whosoever will. Richard Baxter, one of the famous Puritan preachers, he said he was glad that the Lord used the word whosoever. Because he said if God had said it's for Richard Baxter, he would have thought I'm such a sinful wretch that God meant some other Richard Baxter. But when he said whosoever, he said I knew that included me, the worst of all Richard Baxters. And the invitation, men and women, includes you as well, whoever you are. Even if you're the worst of sinners, even as Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. And I pray that that knowledge tonight, that that truth might encourage you to come to Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. Let me warn you, it doesn't say whensoever. It says whosoever. You can't get saved when you want. You can't come to Jesus Christ whenever you like. You can only come to Christ when the Spirit is speaking and when the door of opportunity is still open to you. Don't make the mistake that Felix made those many years ago. Don't say some more convenient time. There is a day of salvation, men and women, and it's not every day. Remember the Scriptures exhort and they warn, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Remember that the repetitions of the Bible are there for emphasis. The word now used twice in that one verse. Now, the accepted time now is the day of salvation. And that's the time for you to be saved. Remember, today is salvation's day. Tomorrow for you is damnation's day. Tomorrow for you could be eternity. There was an English preacher. He was a pastor, an evangelist. Joseph Kemp was his name. His parents both died before he was 9 years of age. He had very little education. He was a man that knew the hand of God upon his ministry. He ministered for a time at the very famous Charlotte Chapel in Edinburgh with great blessing. He came to Christ when he was just a teenager, 14 years of age. One day he was speaking to an old sailor. And the sailor was faithful to his soul, spoke to him about the things of God, pleaded with him. And the sailor said to the young Joseph Kemp, when are you going to be converted? And Kemp thought about that for a few moments after the conversation that they'd had. He stood up, he walked across the room, he shook the old sailor by the hand, and he said, I think I'll do it now. And men and women, we want to urge you to do the same. Get saved now. Come to Christ right now, even in the seat where you sit in this gospel service. The scope of God's salvation. Think of the simplicity of God's salvation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's how simple God's salvation is. Just believe and receive. Just trust Christ and you'll be saved for all eternity. And we want to plead with you to do that in the gospel service this evening. We're told that there are many religions in this world. Sometimes people like to put the number of religions there are in this world. The reality, men and women, there's only two religions. And I pray you'll see that and understand that this evening. And those two religions are not Protestant and Catholic. They're not Muslim and Hindu. One is the religion of works. It's those that teach whatever name they come under, but they teach that you must work your way to heaven. Remember the rich young ruler? What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Now, those that believe and teach that you must do something, something hard, something difficult to merit salvation, to merit favor before God. A few weeks ago, those folk down in West Ireland that thought they must walk up Croagh-Patrick Mountain barefooted in order to obtain the forgiveness of all their sins. Some think they have to pay vast sums of money into the church. They have to make a pilgrimage to the very end of the earth. They say they think salvation is by doing, it's by works. But men and women, that's a false religion. It's not the teaching of the scriptures. As Solomon said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Paul said to Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. The other religion of the two is the religion of the Bible, and that's the religion of faith. You're saved by faith, by putting your trust in Christ, by putting your trust in his work, in his sacrifice that he completed for us on Calvary's cross. I pray the Lord will open your eyes tonight to see he has done all the work that was necessary for our salvation. Remember the old chorus, done, done, D-O-N-E. It's done, done, and it's done perfectly. It's whosoever believeth in him that will not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a young man one night came to see the preacher after the service to speak to him about his soul. He was anxious. He said to the minister, what must I do to find peace? The minister said, you're too late. The young man was quite alarmed. It made him even more anxious. You mean to say, I'm too late to be saved? No, 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 the minister said. You're too late to do something. You're too late to do anything. Jesus Christ did everything for you on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Let that sink into your hearts tonight, men and women. You know the little badge that people used to wear with that simple statement on it, just two words, Jesus saves. It's Christ who's the Savior. It's by his work. It's by his sacrifice. Paul said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in his finished work, and your soul will be saved forever. That's the simplicity of God's salvation. The final thing in the text I'll emphasize is the security of God's salvation. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it true? We know, we hear a lot about security. Hear a lot about it in the news. Times we don't feel very secure. We think of the ongoing struggle, the ongoing war out there in the Ukraine and all the impact, all the ramifications of that internationally. But here, men and women, is real security. Here is God's security, the security of God's salvation. Let me emphasize it. In Christ, you'll never perish. It's not tremendous, men and women. Remember, all that are out of Christ will perish. Your soul will be lost for all eternity. Think of Noah's Ark. All that were outside the ark were lost. They perished. And all that are outside of Christ will perish eternally. Their soul will be lost forever. But I want to stress, men and women, the security of his salvation. And remember, it's immediate security. You can have it now. If you come to Christ in the service, you'll have this spiritual security, the security of God's salvation. You'll have it immediately. And it's eternal security. It says it's a salvation that lasts forever. You'll have everlasting life. In other words, something that never ends. There's no such thing, men and women, as been saved today and lost tomorrow. Once you're saved, you're as sure of heaven as if you were already there. Do you remember the words of the Savior? May it encourage your heart tonight, even dear believer, that he spoke in John's Gospel. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never Think, men and women, of the strength of those words. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Remember, the word there, man, in the text is in italics. You can take it out of the verse without doing any damage to the scriptures. Neither shall any, whether it be angel, demon, or man, neither shall any pluck you out of the Father's hand. So if you want security tonight, if you want real security in this troubled world of ours, then I invite you, I plead with you, to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember the story that's told about Edward Carson? On his deathbed, the primate, the then primate of the Church of Ireland, Dr. Charles Darcy, came to see him. They spoke a little about the things of God. Carson said to Dr. Darcy, "I've seen a lot in my life to shake my faith, and all that remains," he said, and he quoted the words of this verse, John 3:16, "All that remains is for God so loved the world," and so on. Dr. Darcy said, "It is enough." And men and women, I want to stress to you tonight, when you come to die, come to the end of life's journey, if you're simply trusting in Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. When you come to the end of life's journey, if you're simply trusting in Christ for salvation, that will be enough to save your soul. That will be enough to get you into heaven. Remember the words of the chorus we emphasized at the beginning. You can't get to heaven without salvation. I pray the Lord with great power will bring that home to your heart this evening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord use his word this evening, even to the saving of a soul. Let's sing a couple of verses, 242. "Sinner, how thy heart is troubled, God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion, do not check that falling tear. O be saved, his grace is free. O be saved, he died for thee." Just the verses 1 and 3, think of the third verse. "Art thou waiting till the morrow?" Remember what we emphasized, those waiting in some more convenient time. "Art thou waiting till the morrow? Thou mayest never see its light. Come at once, accept his mercy. He is waiting. Come tonight." Verses 1 and 3 only, please, will stand as we sing.
Emotion, but do not check that.
Let's just seek the Lord together. Father, I want to thank you tonight for Calvary, for all that was accomplished there for our salvation. I want to pray that with some in this meeting, some, Father, in our families, some that have heard this message tonight, that will come to Christ, that will be saved, even this very evening. We ask thee, Father, remember the cause of the gospel in this land. We ask thee to strengthen it. We ask thee to prosper it. We plead, Father, that you'll give again in this province and in this nation a hearing for the word of God. Give an ear for the message of the gospel. We commit ourselves into your hands. Go with us. Lord, we need thee through this week. We need thee every day. We confess, even as the hymn writer said, that we need thee every hour. Father, give us help. May we be conscious of the Lord's power and of his good hand upon us. And Lord, we want to plead that through this week, give us opportunities just to speak your name, to tell others of the Savior. And Lord, we ask that through this week, that we'll see the cause of Christ here blessed and strengthened and advanced. We ask thee now, part us in thy fear with thy favor, and spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's love devote, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.